On October 22, in 1884, 180 years ago, just before midnight, approximately 100,000 people gathered on a hill just outside of New York. And there was tremendous excitement in the air. People were sharing all kinds of stories of what they went through to be there. Some people said that they sold their homes to be there. Some people gave up their jobs to be there. Some farmers said they gave up their family farms to be there. And who caused all this excitement? A man by the name of William Miller. William Miller was a farmer. He was a respected businessman. He was a very active member of his Baptist church, and he was an avid student of the Bible. And he especially loved the prophetic books of the Old Testament and the book of Revelation. And he had made a very convincing prediction that Jesus Christ was going to return on midnight on October 22, 1844. William Miller stood at the top of that hill, and 100,000 people looked up to that top of that hill at him, and they gazed into the sky expectantly. And what happened is called the Great Disappointment. The Great Disappointment. It's stories like that one that have caused ridicule and embarrassment to Christians for centuries. Because it's been going on for centuries. People studying the Bible prophecies and claiming, I know when Jesus is coming back. It's not only embarrassing, but it's sad. But here's another result of that that is just as sad and embarrassing. With every failed prediction of his coming, many, many Christians have adopted an attitude of apathy about the whole thing, that Jesus Christ is going to return. Yes, many people believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back someday, and they may even pray that he will come back, especially in their lifetime, but they live with little or no thought of what that really means. Apathy. I mean, there's no apathy when it comes to wondering who's going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to win the World Series. There's no apathy when it comes to being who's going to be the next president of the United States. There's no apathy when it comes to your favorite television show coming back in the fall or getting your hands on the latest novel by your favorite author or planning your next vacation. There's no apathy in any of that. But when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ, nah. After all, his coming soon has been the theme for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. That's older than Chris Justice. So there's no need to dwell on it. There's no need to dwell on it. There's no need to plan for it. Instead, well, they plan for their death. They plan for their funeral. They plan for how we're going to close that estate of ours. Because we all know that death is coming, so we plan for it. But Christ returning first? Nah. In fact, is he really going to return at all? Yes. He is. Yes. He will. Only God knows when. But God has chosen to give us some insight as to what that is going to be like when it finally happens. In fact, of the 39 books in the Old Testament, 17 of them talk about the final judgment when Christ returns prominently. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, 23 of them, that's 85% of them, talk about the final judgment and the return of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, one out of every 30 verses prophesies the coming of Jesus Christ. New birth is mentioned in the Bible 9 times. Baptism is mentioned in the Bible 52 times. Repentance is mentioned in the Bible 89 times. But the second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned 1,800 times. Wow. And Jesus even included it in his model prayer. He told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." You've prayed that many, many times. In fact, you just sang it. Thy kingdom come. Do you mean it? This is 1 Thessalonians 5:1. "Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." This past spring, there were many, many devastating tornadoes that broke out in the Midwest. And this past week, there were many, many tornadoes in Florida. And all of the authorities said that the most dangerous ones of them were the ones that came at night, because you cannot see them. They're called nocturnal tornadoes. Well, the Bible says, watch out, for the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. And Paul then continued in that passage, and he said this, while people were saying peace, it says that destruction will come on us suddenly as the labor pains of a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. That's what the Bible says. A huge question is this: are we Christians going to be among those who experience that? And the answer is possibly. Possibly. We'll talk about that. But if we are, and if Jesus comes before our funerals, we, actually none of us, are going to escape the sudden and dramatic events that are talked about in the Bible will affect you and me. Are you ready? Here's another description. 2 Peter 3:10. The heavens will disappear with a roar. That sounds pretty scary to me. The elements will be destroyed by fire. This is the Bible. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. What's going to cause all that? Is it going to be God's breath? Is it going to be God's word? Is it going to be a wave of his hand? What might that be like? Well, we don't know. But there was an article in Popular Science magazine a few years ago entitled Sunstroke. And I think it kind of gives us a peek. The theme of the article was that a catastrophic solar storm will hit the Earth at some point in the future. And scientists are saying it is not a matter of if, it is a matter of when it will happen. The strongest solar storm that has ever hit the planet Earth in history that we know about is September 1, 1859, 165 years ago. And it's described, magnetic particles flew through space, went through the atmosphere, and created so much light at night that the miners in the Rocky Mountains thought it was dawn, and they got up and cooked breakfast. In the Washington-Baltimore area, they reported that you could read the newspaper at night because the light was so bright right here. The Aurora Borealis. Did anybody see it this week? Did you see it? Where did you see it? What colors? Pink? Oh, I'm jealous. Did anybody else see it last week? It's on my bucket list. I'm really sorry that I missed it. But going back to this this solar storm that came, the Aurora Borealis was, by the way, last week it was seen in Alabama. But then, in this storm I'm describing, it was seen in the Caribbean. That's how strong it was. Telegraph operators in both Europe and in North America were physically shocked when electrical current caused their machines to throw off sparks and set fire to the paper. So they unplugged their machines, and they kept working. 30 years later, in 1889, another storm brought down the entire power grid in Quebec. 62 years later, in 1921, Chris, were you alive in 1921? In 1921, a similar solar storm cut off all radio communication on the East Coast of the United States and all telephone service in Europe. Now, the National Academy of Sciences have done a study, and they have reported that we are overdue for another major solar storm. And if it is as strong as the strongest ones that we've been describing, they're telling us this is what we can expect. We will have 18 hours to get ready. Satellites will be destroyed, therefore there will be no communication around the world. Electrical transformers will go out, and 130 million Americans will be without electricity for years. There will be no gas pumps. There will be no trains. There will be no telephones, both landlines and cell service. Hospital generators will kick in and will last for only 2 weeks at the most. All food deliveries will cease. Our water systems will all back up. Cooling generators in the nuclear power plants will fail, causing radiation in the United States 30 times more powerful than that of Chernobyl. Because of all these predictions, some people have started stocking up right now in hopes that they will be able to survive this approaching catastrophe. I know, this sounds like a Hollywood movie, doesn't it? It sounds like fiction out of a Hollywood movie. Well, how do you think these words sounded to the people 2,000 years ago? The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. What? The stars will fall from the skies. And the heavenly bodies will be shaken. That was not a quote from the National Academy of Sciences. That was a quote from Jesus. It's in Matthew 24, and it goes on. He said, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the heavens to the other. Wow. Yes, I pray for Jesus' return too, but I'm not so sure I want to go through the scary stuff. Just the good stuff. And besides all that, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ returns, all of my sins will be made public. I don't want you to know all of my sins. I do want to know all of yours, but I don't want you to know mine. Brothers and sisters, the plasma particles of a solar storm are nothing compared to the promises from the Bible of the pain and the misery and the humiliation that awaits those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And I did not say that to scare the hell out of anybody, even though that needs to happen. I said that to scare the hell out of anybody in this room who's listening to my voice right now, or anyone who's listening online in the future who says that they are a Christian, but they really are not. They're not a real Christian. You know this. You have sinned. Chris hasn't, but you have sinned, and you are going to hell. You have sinned against the Creator who gave you life, and you are going to go to hell unless you accept the free gift that God gives you of forgiveness. He's extended a gift to all of us, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of light over dark, a gift of love over hate, a gift of eternal life with him forevermore in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. John had a dramatic vision called the Book of Revelation. We don't understand a lot of what it says. And it includes other promises like this from chapter 11. He said, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world. And I tell you what, the kingdom of the world is a mess, and it's getting messier. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. I love that. Thank God for inspiring Handel to put it to such wonderful music. Forever and ever. He will reign forever. Jesus Christ is our King, and our King is coming. And when he does, he has told us part of what he's going to say. This is Matthew 25, verse 34. He will say, come. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. That invitation from God is an open invitation. And God has patiently kept that invitation alive all these years. It is never too late to come to him until it is. On September 8, 1900, 124 years ago, there was a devastating hurricane that hit Galveston, Texas. Galveston, Texas is located on an island, Galveston Island. The chief of the National Weather Bureau in Galveston was Isaac Klein. He got onto horseback, and he went from house to house all over Galveston, warning people that a storm was coming. But history tells us that many people did not take him very seriously, because after all, Galveston had suffered no big storm ever in the past, and the ones that had come through had not done major damage. So most of the people were convinced that nothing really terrible was going to happen. As the winds came up, the water began to come in, the surge, and the streets began to fill with water. And the children went out and played in the water. And men went to breakfast and had breakfast together at the restaurants, just as they did every morning there at the local diner. But the storm's strength grew, and it grew. And then a 16-foot surge of water swept in, and it only took 4 seconds for 4 feet of water to cover the entire island. 7,000 buildings were destroyed, 10,000 people were left homeless, and 12,000 people died. History calls it the Great Galveston Storm, and describes it as the deadliest natural event that has ever happened in American history. If only they had paid attention when he went from door to door and warned them what was going to happen, but they didn't. Those who are apathetic about the second coming of Jesus Christ are like the citizens of Galveston, Texas. Even though they've been warned, many of them don't take it seriously. You know what? The same was true in the days of Noah. Brothers and sisters, there is a storm coming. There is a storm coming. We don't know when it's going to be, but we do know that it's coming. Now, throughout this entire message, you may have been thinking about something else that you've heard about. Jesus said in Matthew 24, two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, but the other will be left behind. Two women will be grinding meal at the handmill, and one will be taken, and the other will be left behind. Therefore, keep watch, he said, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Now we're talking about the rapture. The rapture. Paul had this to say in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's what we call the rapture. It's one of Christianity's greatest hopes, that we will not have to suffer the great storm that's coming, but that we who are in Christ will be taken away and be with him before that storm surge. Is it really going to happen? Yes. Do we know when? No. Do we know if it's going to happen before or after the surge? We don't know. We don't know. Are there different opinions on this subject? Yes. Is there theological debate about it? Oh, yes. Many, in fact. Can I be certain that I'm going to be taken up to be with the Lord, with my loved ones, before all of the bad stuff happens? No, I can't be certain of that. What you can know with certainty is this. Eventually, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord will all be united in heaven for eternity. Hallelujah for that. Okay, here's a synopsis of what the Bible has to tell us. We are to live expectantly, ready to welcome Him at any time. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet Jesus Christ? We will behold Him. Are you ready? Do you mean it when you say, "Thy kingdom come"? Do you need to do any house cleaning? Let us pray. Lord, I thank You for the reminder in my life and for my brothers and sisters here that You are the King of Kings who will reign forever and ever, and we with You. But Lord, may we be ready in every way. Talk to us, Lord. Tell us what we need to do. What do we need to do to be ready for Your return? And then help us do it to the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.